Blog Talk Radio.
From the ashes of my mic foes, I floated up and glowed while clothed in a Jollibee, a tight white robe. From across the globe, I sighted micro, waited for nighttime to expose, kidnapped the darkness and hid it inside a light bulb. Y'all know I write poltergeist flows. You showed up at the open mic, I exploded and left the mic closed. When I fight, I throw nitro, glycerin, right blows that strike cranial lobes, leaving crater like holes. See, Kerry knows a music gymnast. I got so many unusual hidden clues in one sentence, it'll confuse a chemist. I never lose a scrimmage. I got tools that'll nuke you in minutes and move you from finite to a translucent image. I'm pinning four lines at a time, I'm complex with this. I got two extra hands, I'm double ambidextrous. The language specialist who wrecks beyond your exodus and ejects the best deadly messages minus the expletives. Now when it comes to being an MC, I'm the epitome. It's gonna take an army of lyricists to get rid of me. When you think of the weak, never consider me. I'm stronger than the purest cocaine, come take a hit of me.
The sun shined on my lines and they grew vines. I'll write a new rhyme more amazing than running 100-29. When the melee ignites, I'll be writing it. The wind in my lung is strong enough to fly 7-ton kite in it. While you was in the streets looking feeble, I was in the rap cathedral, sleeping on a bed of 7 million needles. My reproductive feed is so outstanding and great, I could repopulate a planet with a mannequin mate. I have fatigue, it's moving, walk speed, stranded and late. My thoughts took off at 9 o'clock, but landed at 8. Got ready heat, I'll read from a dreaded sheet, then let it seep deep in your head and feet unsheathed and cleave you into shredded wheat. See, my lines got enough homicide enzymes to actually reenact Columbine 9 or 10 times. My photographic brain's terrific aim can snapshot the cosmic plane and show every lane in the 8x10 picture frame. Now when it comes to being an MC, I'm the epitome. It's gonna take an army of lyricists to get rid of me. When you think of the weak, never consider me. I'm stronger than the purest cocaine, come take a hit of me. Now when it comes to being an MC, I'm the epitome. It's gonna take an army of lyricists to get rid of me. When you think of the weak, never consider me. I'm stronger than the purest cocaine, come take a hit of me.
The fact you think that you can end me is what offends me. We can go back in the time and I'll rip you up last Wednesday. I test forensics under lab lenses. My lyric infringes upon your senses, rinses through you till it cleanses. See, your creative efforts are minimal. I'm the information general who rips flows in 1,000-minute intervals. I disassemble lyrical imbeciles, ventricles, limbs, and intricate chemicals. I mix and reinvent them identical. My skin is full of sunray minerals, so my mental is plentiful. My torso extends 10 venomous tentacles. Your intellectual pinnacle is embryo. You could be the only individual left in a battle that's not winnable. I've never been the type to wear blazers. I'm the type to engrave phrases inside of your palms with hot razors. A sick brain, my page vaccinated. Still it murders the patient because it straight contaminates his blood platelets.
Now when it comes to being an MC, I'm the epitome. It's gonna take an army of lyricists to get rid of me. When you think of the weak, never consider me. I'm stronger than the purest cocaine, come take a hit of me.
Now when it comes to being an MC, I'm the epitome. It's gonna take an army of lyricists to get rid of me.
When you think of the weak, never consider me. I'm stronger than the purest cocaine, come take a hit of me.
Good evening, Brother Agnes. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Well, assalamu alaikum, audience, and welcome back to Young, Gifted, and Black. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Agnes. And Brother Agnes, tell us what we got going on this evening.
We got a couple of chords on the line. We got a chord.
We can't hear you, Brother Arvin.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
A little more. Talk up a little more.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Okay, wonderful. We got Chloe Vinson on the line with us today. She's a poet. Also, we have
Taslim Jamila. She's a poet, a wonderful poet as well. All right, so they're going to be doing their thing online, and then we're going to have sponsors who are artists. Artists who are sponsors, they have their music they're going to play today for us as well. And we're going to do a special Black History thing today. I got a couple Black History questions, you know, for people to answer. And whoever get it right, we'll get their name and contact information. And we can send them a free Savior's Day ticket to hear Minister Farrakhan live in Chicago, February 24th on Sunday. Whoever gets the questions right.
All right. I might try to win that ticket myself.
Yeah, it's lines is all open, so.
All praise is due to Allah. Okay, Brother Arvins, and don't forget, we also have a very special interview with you tonight.
Oh, yeah, we got an interview with me.
Yes, sir, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so who's on deck first?
On deck first, we're going to go to Chloe Vinson. Chloe, are you on the line with us today?
Oh, we have to make that mic drop. I'm sorry, we got them muted out.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes,
here?
Ma'am.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing, folks?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you for joining us online today on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. No problem. Wonderful. So you're a young artist. Before we get into your pieces, you're gonna do. You're actually going to do a few for us today because, you know, your music, there were a little technical difficulties. Your music didn't come through the way it could have. So you're going to give us a special live presentation today, right?
Yes, a live presentation.
Yes, wonderful. It ain't nothing better than a live presentation.
Right, if you can't do a live at all, right?
That's right. So before you do your pieces you're going to do, I just want to interview, talk to you a little while about everything that you're doing, all right?
Okay, no problem.
I just want to talk to you. So first you're going to start off asking the question, how did you get started into poetry?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I really wanted to get my mother a gift, but I was eight, so I couldn't run out to the store, and I didn't have any money, and so I thought, why not, instead of making her a card, why not write her a poem? And that's how I got it. And so I wrote a poem, she shared it with all of her friends and all of our family, and everybody really, really liked it, and I really just never stopped writing after that.
Okay, wonderful. So, can you hear me? Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So, that's wonderful. Poetry and inspiration, like, where do you get the writings from? How do you think about what you're going to write down and spill your soul to?
Well, I try to write about something that no one else is writing about. Like, I try to cover the basis of things that I don't think are talked about often or things that people are too afraid to talk about. I try to add a little humor to it at the same time because I don't want people to be, you know, afraid to listen to me. I don't want it to be deep to the point that people don't want to hear it. But at the same time, enlighten people on different things. Even if they don't need to be enlightened, if they know it already, it could be a refreshment. So I'm really gearing my pieces now towards young people because I'm in school to be a teacher, and so I really want to inspire the young people because they're our future. And I just really want to, you know, get to them in a way that can be heard because people are rapping now, they're listening to the rappers, they're not really sending a positive message. So I try to put something out there that can be positive and that our youth can listen to and that can be beneficial to them.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what's your analogy in the way of your approach? Because some people don't want to hear anything positive at all. Some people just, I want to hear liquor, guns, drugs. I want to hear about how much money you got. If you ain't talking about nothing like that, I don't want to hear you. So with, for those with those type of mindsets, how do you feel you can really, really touch them, if not anyone that listens to your poetry?
I feel like I can touch them by showing them that just because I'm talking about something positive, it doesn't mean it's boring. Like, it's still precious ears. You can still rock with it. You can still be like, man, that was good. That was great. It's something that you can still listen to at your leisure. It's not something that, it's not a textbook. It's not boring.
Uh-huh.
It's still entertaining. So I think that's how I would try to reach them, by making everything I say hip and still, you know, I want to keep the image of, I'm still young. I'm 21 years old. So it's not like this. Reading a textbook, you're not listening to your teachers, you're listening to someone the same age as you talk about things that you're going through, but you just can't hear on the radio because people are too afraid to talk about it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So do you feel you're an inspiration or some type of light to everyone else your age, all the rest of the young people who may not have a good example of somebody in their age bracket where they could look at and say, man, that's a good example for me. Maybe I should try doing what they're doing in the way that they're doing it, or I could relate to somebody who's my age because they could talk to me and understand me. So how do you feel you are able to relate to everyone else in your age bracket?
I feel like I'm able to relate because unlike some of the more the bigger artists out there, not to take anything from them because they're just as talented, you know, and they made a name for themselves, but a lot of people our age that are actually being heard have money, have the cars, have the fame, have the glamour, and it's easy to say, you know, do this and do that when you're up that high. But I think with me, I'm still in school, and I feel like the people who are supporting me see me through this journey. So it's like they're struggling with me in a sense. So it's like I'm not talking down to you, I'm talking with you.
What school are you attending and what's your major?
Roosevelt University, and I'm an English major, education minor.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you can be a teacher, actually, huh?
Yes, a high school teacher.
That's great. And we need more young high school teachers your age to actually replace plenty of high school teachers who really are not doing all that they could. Not that they can't do it, but they're not doing it right now. So, yeah, most definitely. So what's the first piece you're going to give us today?
The first piece I'm going to perform is called Words Spoken. And I came up with this. I actually came up with the last few lines first, and it was, like, really quick. It felt like a little rap. And I was like, man, I really like this, but it's not enough. So I kind of, like, left it away, you know, typed it up, left it alone, and then a few months later I was inspired to finish it. So I really finished this over a course of months. It just happened in a day. It took a very long time, so I hope everyone enjoys it. I don't particularly care for the... You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's called Words Spoken.
Okay, Words Spoken.
I don't particularly care for love poems, so I just spit about my life. See, since the year 2000, poetry has been my husband and I've been his wife. So I consider myself poetically inclined. I guess I have a way with words. I'm pretty good with rhymes. But see, poetry is nothing more than my thoughts written down, because with a pen and pad, I walk around inhaling inspiration and using it as fuel for future aspirations, because we all know it's hard to be successful in this nation. See, there are indeed unemployed intellectuals and poor people with degrees. So don't define success by what job you have, because you may never succeed. And don't think you can be successful if you never believe. And if you fail to plan, then just plan to fail, because great things don't usually happen by coincidence. I try my best to avoid decadence, but how can I do that when I'm indulging in materialism as if it's there and I care too much about my nails and hair? At least I'm aware. Because so many are ignorant of what surrounds them, what controls them, what moves them, what soothes them, who loves them, who hates them. And I'm just glad that poetry is my husband, so I don't have to date them. Because the unknown isn't a state I like to be in. I guess that's why I'm in debt to educate myself, improve my moral being, physical health. I consider my goals attainable, but sometimes they are purely unexplainable. Sometimes I think, man, my life must be too short to accomplish all these things while fighting off dreams of me rocking bling, I ask one thing. Don't you mark me as a pessimistic person, because I've taken the positive creations like the sun and the earth and love my loved ones to pieces. because when it all falls down, they believe in me and they're who I believe in. So don't you text me, because I'm someone you can't handle. Just call me a flashlight, because I don't blow like a candle. I mean, things are temporary, nothing less than legendary, necessarily necessary. I'm real. No magic and no fairies. My talent is no lie or joke, and I will never give up on Poetry Incorporated because I still have hope. So sit back and engage in relaxation. You are now a witness to my poetic demonstration. Poetic since age 8. To make this simple, I'm great. I love, you hate, I observe, and you wait. So just leave me alone and simultaneously love me intensely because my schedule is full, but my heart is empty.
Wonderful, wonderful. That was nice right there. That was real nice. That was real nice. So tell us a little bit about, like, kind of break down the poem a little bit, and just in case you're going a little fast for somebody. Tell us a little bit about exactly what you were talking about.
So in the beginning, I'm just talking about, you know, just different things in life that are, like, general rules of thumb, so to speak. And I'm basically informing the audience of who I am. Like, it's about, it's like a coming out poem. It's like telling everyone who I am and what I stand for and pretty much like, you know, this is me, while actually engaging the audience and giving them things to ponder about. Like, if you fail to plan, then just plan to fail because great things don't usually happen by coincidence. Like, that's something really basic so everyone can relate to it. And everyone pretty much can agree on something like that. So it's like developing a common ground. And then I start moving into my personal pursuits, such as I'll never give up on Poetry Incorporated because I still have hope. But it's just talking about, you know, I'm interested in some type of entrepreneurship, and I'm not going to give up on my dream of being a writer because I still have this hope and I still have this dream that I plan to pursue. So, and then the end is pretty much just wrapping it all up. And at some point I say, I love, you hate, so just leave me alone and simultaneously love me intensely because my schedule is full but my heart is empty. And what I mean by that is not that my heart is literally empty, but that now that I've gotten all of this out, I've literally just gave my audience what was on my heart at the time. And now that I've told everyone what I feel, my heart is empty.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a really good poem, and that's a really good analogy that you have in your approach with that one right there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to the lines and see if anyone has any feedback on your poem. So is anyone that's on the line, do you have any feedback on the poem you just heard?
All I can say is wow. That's all I can say is wow. That was awesome success.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just saying thank you. I appreciate it.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Now you have another one for us, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the name of this one?
It's called Butterfly.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically like a love poem.
Okay.
Oh, or anti-love poem, actually. So, yeah. Okay. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Okay. My mind races when I'm around you. Thoughts scramble and speech is delayed. It's like you hit a pause button when you walk by. But there's no point in me beating around the bush because you give me butterflies. And I know that you and I spending time as unwise and foolish as these feelings continue to form in me you adorn by lighting me up with a smile, a giggle, a laugh. And then you wrap my feelings around your finger and play with my emotions like basketball at recess, like music playing through speakers, like I have on 5-inch heels and my feet hurt, you wear out my affection. But see, you do her the same way with these childish games, and to neither one of us do you make a commitment. And I'm smart enough to figure this all out, but not smart enough to listen to my mind, because my heart is just treacherous and weak, so when you speak, there's a feeling from my head to my feet. I wish you would leave me alone and make this easier for me, because when you invite me out, I can't say no. Now, I don't usually write love poems, because they just seem so cliche. Like, I've heard it all before, but I've been having these feelings every day, and every time you suck on my heart, I polish your shoes for you to do it again. Who knew that you failing to acknowledge the feelings we have could hurt so much, when all I want is your touch? I don't want any lust. All I want is for you to be attentive. Attentive to the fact that I have potential to be submissive, loving, caring, and comprehensive of your wishes. This poem isn't this, it's just something I had to get off my chest. And I will never confront you for my fear of regret. So let's just end this note with a powerful plea. A plea for God to let me rid myself of these feelings. Now I'm kneeling and hurt because I thought you were a gentleman, but you were really just a jerk.
All right, all right. That was nice. I like that one right there. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that poem right there, it sounds personal, but it doesn't sound too personal, like some stuff you don't want to put out there. I think that poem is pretty much like universal. I mean, anybody and everybody could relate to that, especially women.
Yeah, that's what I need, because I'm going to borrow that poem, because I got a couple people I need to send that one to.
You got followers already, Chloe. You got followers already.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this poem. Now, how did you get into the mindset of writing this poem? Is it just something that was heavy on your chest at the moment, or something you went through, or something you saw someone else go through at that time?
Yeah, I went through it for like about maybe a year. And so it really wasn't that heavy of a situation. The poem is very much exaggerated. And so, I mean, I just feel like I write my best poems by exaggerating a situation. And I mean, you know, comedians do it, actors do it. You take a situation that may have, it was a significant situation. I don't want to say it wasn't. It was significant. But I really just took it and blew it up and made it dramatic and made it appealing to the ear and made it something that everyone could be able to relate to. Because even if you've never been through that exact situation, everyone's been in a situation where they dealt with a jerk, whether it's a female or male, whatever the situation is, you know. So I try to make it so that everyone can vibe to it and everyone can understand it and relate to it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, we're going to go to the lines on that one, see if anyone had any feedback on that poem at this first. Anybody got some feedback? How did you like this poem you just said?
I hope y'all can hear me.
Who's this? Who's speaking?
Yeah.
Hi, this is her mom.
Hello, darling.
Oh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I appreciate you giving her the forum to present herself. And that's very positive. I see that you're a young positive African-American man as well, and I'm totally appreciative of that.
Thank you, and thank you for being on the line with us. You're even more wonderful because you brought her here. So, I mean, what better way is to have the artist and the mom of the artist? That's like two diamonds at one time.
Thank you, and her dad is here as well. We just want to say we're proud of her.
That's three diamonds at one time.
Well, thank you. So we'll let you go, guys, but we appreciate it, and we're very proud of her.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.
That's a wonderful tree right there. How do you feel about that one, Chloe?
Oh, I feel like I'm getting all the support. My Twitter is blowing up. My text is blowing up. So I just feel supported, by everyone.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, do you have one more, correct?
I do, and this one has never been performed before. So this will be the first time anyone has heard it, and I'm really happy to be able to perform it for the first time today.
Great. You happy to hear it for the first time?
Yes. Okay, so this one, it's untitled. Like, I don't even have a title for it. I tried my best today to come up with a title, and I just couldn't. Like, there's no one word or one sequence of words that I feel like can summarize it. So it's untitled.
Okay.
It's the same. It's kind of like the same as the other one. It's a dramatic approach to something that happened to me. So here's my untitled poem.
Okay.
I got stood up by an 18-year-old on the corner of Randolph and Michigan. his phone went straight to voicemail. He hadn't returned my text for a few hours, and everything in my soul told me that today was the day. The day that my pride would be disrespected, my intelligence insulted, my feelings neglected. I told all my friends, he's too young, too immature. I knew he had send-off tendencies, immature views of reality, unrealistic goals and aspirations, no real experiences of temptations or persuasions, but here I was waiting, contemplating on why I was devastated instead of elated. Waiting because I let my insecurities control my need for reassurance, and I was indeed reassured that I couldn't even get a guy 24 months younger than me. So there I sat on the 457 train, slowly moving southbound, and there was no turning around because I'm feeling down. But the sounds of the train are loud, and I try to drown the feelings out by telling myself that it doesn't matter, that I don't need anyone to flatter me, that I've become weak, that I need to toughen up emotionally. But the pep talk doesn't work, because my self-esteem is tattered, and it once stood strong and tall, taller than a ladder. So I tried my best to tell myself that it could be worse. Like some have been stood up at the altar, daughters stood up by mothers and fathers, and as soon as I am calm, I get a call. It's him after all. And all of my feelings of inadequacy go away. And the fact that my confidence was dependent on that call is the problem.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's nice, that's nice. So that's your first time performing it. Were you nervous, or did you have to rehearse that one a lot of time?
I was, because I thought I may trip over a few of the parts with the speech, where the speech is fast and there are big words. So I was like, oh, am I going to get this right? So, yeah, I was a little nervous with memorizing the rhythm and everything.
Okay. So it's Black History Month, so... How do you feel during this special month, during Black History Month, mm-hmm. you can really, really, really contribute to Black History Month with your poetry?
I feel like I can contribute because me being, as much as we look at each other as people, the truth is that your race really does mold you. And it's more than a race, it's a culture. And so with that being said, me being an African-American woman, I mean, I have two things that people consider working against me. Being a woman, one thing, and then being an African-American woman is supposed to be like a double whammy. It's supposed to be two standards that are supposed to make me a statistic. And I feel like all year long I'm fighting that statistic day after day, and I'm trying to make a name for myself. And before you know that my name is Chloe or that my stage name is Chloetry, you know that I'm a Black woman. And so with that being said, it means a lot to me to be able to be put on a platform under a station that promotes that unity and promotes the fact that we have young, Black, gifted African-Americans out here.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's excellent. Now, I'm going to ask for questions that are on the line to see if any questions on the line. Sister Giz, are there any questions online? Are there any questions on the line?
You can make your mic live, Brother Arvis, area code 510.
Okay.
Yes.
It's live.
Okay. I'm there. I'm area code 510.
Yes.
Okay. How y'all doing tonight?
Hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm listening in to... Miss Chloetry, I got the Facebook posting that I should tune in to the show. This is Malika calling in, and I'm just happy that I had a chance to tune in. I was trying to catch your show last couple weeks ago, brother, and I missed it. But I'm actually in the braiding hair shop right now if you hear some background noise. But I just wanted to say good work, sister, on what you're doing with your poetry. And I was really excited when I tuned in and heard you. You know, reciting your poetry, because I'm right now looking for artists to put on a mixtape that I'm putting out called the Positive Push CD, and I really have a shortage of sisters, of women on that CD. So I would love to see if you would be interested in possibly submitting some of your poetry if you haven't recorded it. We can figure that out. But I have, you can look on my Facebook page, which is Malika Ubaka. This is Brother Averance, right, on the line?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing, Sister Malika?
Okay. I'm fine. And so, yeah, I can leave my email and things like that. So I'm just looking to do that right now. I'm an artist myself, and just trying to promote positive music, positive energy. And I can tag you the flyer, but I like what I'm hearing. And I mean, it's so dry when it comes to the sisters. So I need you on the positive push, push, push. And you got some good things to say. So hopefully I can give you my email. And if anybody is listening, you can go to my page and check out the flyer and see if you're interested. A lot of people know me. I've been around doing my thing for a while, but most people know me from MTV's Making the Band. So I just like to let people know that I'm a serious artist, and I'm just trying to help other artists be heard and give them a platform. So that's what's up, and hopefully we can get that poetry on there.
Thank you. If anyone is interested in booking me, I do performances as well, and you can actually put in a request at poetryinc.com. That's Chloetry, ChloetryInc.com.
Okay. Brother, maybe you can post that on the page, because I'm in a chair right now trying to get whipped and dipped. But I definitely would love to be in touch. The deadline was actually yesterday, but like I said, we really don't have enough women and sisters putting it down. So I'm really trying to put the line out for the women. And then the last positive push CD that I did, women were coming up to me like, "What happened? What happened?" So I'm like, "Look, but nobody's sending nothing in. It's the brothers that's making it happen right now." So I'm always trying to rep for the sisters. So again, my email for submissions is MalikaEntMusicBIZ@yahoo.com. So this is just for everybody that's listening.
All right.
And I'm happy that I got a chance to tune in and just keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Malika, this is our Vince. I'll make sure I'll give you all of her information, as well as we have another sister poet that I'm going to interview next. And I'll give you
that
information as well, if you can't stay on the line, you understand. I'll give you on your page.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to hold on for a minute. I'm just sitting in a chair. I'm going to press mute, and I'm going to try to stay on as long as I can.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right, y'all. Peace.
All right, peace.
Can I plug my Twitter and Instagram real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so follow me on Twitter and Instagram for more updates. That's iCloetry. Like iPod, iPad, iPhone, iCloetry.
Wonderful. Can you repeat that one more time?
It's iCloetry, @ iCloetry, CHLOETRY.
Wonderful. Okay, and we'll make sure we send and market out your information as well as all the artist information that's going to be on the line next, all right?
All right, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming on with us. Okay, next we have on the line is Tasleem Jamila. Sister Tasleem, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Peace, how are you?
Peace, great, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're honored to have you on the show with us today.
Great.
So before we get into the music that you sing, you're a poet, right?
Yes, I'm a poet among other things, yes.
Okay, what else do you do?
I am I'm a poet. I'm also an MC, so I rhyme. I'm a radio host also. I have a show that airs on Sunday. And this is my 10th year, so I'm celebrating 10 years on air. And it's on RadioIslam.com. It also airs in Chicago on WCEV 1450 AM from 6 to 7 p.m. every Sunday. I feature artists, educators, anything about culture and history. And also I have a company called My Soul Speaks, and I facilitate workshops, webinars, seminars on healing, facilitated around not only words are healing, I do youth workshops about words, but also healing of the body. I'm a holistic lifestyle consultant. So that's just, that's my life's mission, to heal not only with my words, but to teach people how to heal their body, mind, and spirit through meditation, holistic eating, and everything that is good to help the spirit vibrate high.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Before we play the piece that you send in, I just want to talk to you a little bit more about you so all of the listeners and everyone online could have a better, closer connection with you. So
yes.
How long have you been doing poetry, and what's your approach to all the music and stuff that everyone who will possibly hear you? What's your approach to everyone with your poetry?
Well, I've been writing since I was about, 8 or 9 years old. And it started off short stories, poetry, movies, plays. Just love writing. My favorite subject was English. And
okay.
I actually start performing the poetry maybe around over 10, 12 years now. And I got started, I used to promote events a lot. And
uh-huh.
I was actually promoting a few events. And, you know, sometimes when things happen in your life that may be a tragic situation, my sister passed away. And I said, okay, life is, you know, she was here one day, next day she's not. So I said, I'm going to do everything I always wanted to do and even more. So when I was putting on the event promoting, I had different artists and poets. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to share something because I feel like I have something to say that I want to say it in a way that I haven't heard yet. So
right.
Got on the stage, started performing, and ever since then, I haven't stopped doing it. So I just take the approach of my words, to me, it's a mission. And again, back to the word healing with my words. I call myself the lyrical healer because that's what I strive to do when I speak with my words, with the audience, not only, you know, just entertaining, but to inspire, to educate, to help to make them think about their divine within. That's the most thing I want them to actually think about when you hear my words, to remember who you are and that you have that greatness inside of you to inspire you actually to take action. So that's my main focus with my poetry.
That's great. Now, I've visited your webpage and your Facebook and everything, and you also have music that you sell on CD, baby, right?
Yes, I do. That's an album called self-entitled Tasleen, and that's cdbaby.com/cdtasleen, T-A-S-L-E-E-M. And you can also check out my website and get it from there. It's tasleenjamilamusic.com. That's spelled TASLEEMJAMILA music.com. So it'll take you to all my links. I have a bunch of videos on there, and also a documentary that an independent film company, Lunar Butterfly Productions, is right now filming on me. So it's about my journey and my life story. So there's trailers that are on my site that you can actually check out, and it'll connect you to my YouTube channel.
Great. Now, I visited your website, and I was actually very happy to see everything that was on in there, all of the life that's on there, the professionalism, the order, everything. If you work with some quite big people, I want to say, so someone from the Lost Poets, right?
Yes, the Last Poets, Abiodun, yes. I work with him on my CD. On a song called Lyrical War, and it's on there. You can listen to it, a video, actually, that Lunar Butterfly Productions put together that's on my website. And, I mean, that was really a great experience for me because I met him in Chicago when I was performing at the African Festival. And, of course, I'm a huge Last Poets fan. I mean, they're like the godfathers of hip-hop. So
right.
When I actually got a chance to work with him, I mean, it's just a memory, and it's just an experience I'll never forget. And we're still, you know, friends to this day. He's still a mentor to me to this day, as well as another Last Poet, Umar Ben Hassan, who I just had really a great time to spend time with him, because my husband actually has a mobile museum, the Black History One-on-One Mobile Museum that travels the country. And so I got a chance to Umar Ben Hassan was traveling with him, so I got a chance to spend some time with him and interview and talk with him, because they've been friends and been a mentor to him for many years. So it's just been a blessing to be able to be around legends, to get advice, and to get encouragement from them.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm one fan of the last poets, and they're very spiritual. I love anything that comes out of their mouth.
Yes,
I mean, it's like a college just in their poems. They're like a whole college. You can learn all types of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And see you in the same light, actually. I was listening to a lot of your I can't stop listening to this. This is all right.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's I mean, great to hear.
That's wonderful. So you are doing some big things. You are doing some wonderful things out there. So this is Black History Month. This is the first Saturday of Black History Month. So
yes.
in terms of Black History Month, what do you think you can do to contribute to Black History this month with your poetry?
Wow, just to continue to take it to the next level as every day. I say Black History for me is every day. That we are the origin of everything. So, and with my life's work, just to really get out there for people who maybe only may look at history, Black History, in this month, to really get out there. I have some performances that are coming up this month. So if you could check out my website for that. But just to get out there more with my work and write new work. I write all the time, and I'm always inspired to write new things. I'm working on a new album right now. I'm in the studio. It's called Activate. So the single should be out, God willing, in March. And I'm excited about that, and working on a play right now, writing. So just really just take it to the next level. And I'm continuing to be inspired, because I learn every day. And as I learn, I continue to grow as an artist.
Exactly. Now, the piece you sent in to us to play on the air tonight, it's called Chi-Town City Life, right? So
yes.
tell us about this song. You're from Chicago. Tell us about
this song.
Tell us what influenced you to even think about writing this song. It sounds like you really let some things off of your heart that you've seen or experienced in the city of Chicago.
Yes. I call it like the first mini bio. And actually, I worked with a producer out of Chicago, Dion Steele. He had the music, and I said, wow, I love that. You know, I have to have that. So, and I formulated actually the poem. I call it, it's kind of a rhymey type poem around the music, around the hook. And so it's really about my life growing up in Chicago, just a short bio about me going to Chicago public schools, my parents coming from the South. You have to learn, you know, to dive inside myself to find that greatness. And then just my spiritual path in the end, you hear that where it's like, wow, I've kind of messed together. I've blended together my mind, my body, and my spirit. And now I'm just being an influence all over the world with my words.
Excellent. Okay, so everybody, I'm about to play a piece. It's called Chi-Town City Life. Check it out.
Tongue twister. They used to get down real, real gritty. See, life in the city was not always pretty. Some even called me to Dickie. Like, I was from the suburbs, what they call blunt herbs. But some fake happiness, they really are mostly reserved. Where there no sidewalks to curb. You see, Chi-Town, Southside, so I have a happy childhood. My 10 years experienced some tricky living. Grew up with close family and friends, and I had to do some backstabbers with sticky fibbing. Little girls sell face flat in the fantasy. The big city painted their car, sympathy theme. You say it was unforgiving. My parents had KKK memories from Alabama and Mississippi living. They migrated to Chi-Town for a better life. Chi-Town will bring them some happiness, some strength, some stress, some strain, and some strife. See, I hung out in the hood and Princeton Park and the Lone Homes and rolled in 9-8 rides. And well, if you came around my way with the wrong cologne, man, you better hide, cause GDs and Blackstones didn't coincide. The streets were filled with liquor bottles, old dirty condoms. But we still had some black pride. I said, we still had some black pride. To race, escape, and exchange the negative mindset that permeated from 95th Street to the Wild Hunters, from Princeton pops to Jackson Boulevard. See, times were good, but for some man, times were hard. Even Chicago public schools taught me nothing but how to dodge bullets and how to cut fast and how to do just enough to get by and just enough to pass. Prenatal abortions, synthetic misuse, neglected souls, man, they always had an excuse. But my mom, she always talked about revelation. And when my soul, she had reached a revolution. And my daddy, he was a physical example of those inner city evolutions. Red Knot family, those inner city pollutions. So when chaos reigns in the streets, man, my household was like a spiritual retreat, nourished with scriptures to eat. They first taught me that I had my own demons to defeat. That's when I realized that my spirit and my mind had to meet. See, my spirit and my mind had to meet. My soul was crying to be free. It was dying to be free. But I didn't always listen to the divine in me. My frequency was static, and man, sometimes I just couldn't hear it. I was disconnected from my soul and disconnected from my spirit. It took much pain and introspection to free my spirit. And that's why I sharpened my tongue. For those crack addicted brothers and sisters, my abused aunts and my mom, never tying to my mission. Now my soul, she finally fell in total submission. And now it's cool on the east side of Chi-Town where the sun shines. Allah allowed my words to be a healing that vibrates throughout the universe, even past Chi-Town. And I meditate, contemplate, and prostrate east. I found my way of life, my contentment, my peace, out of Islam. Now my inner being is blessed and is bursting like bombs. And I meditate on the Quran and the Psalms. And I see my spiritual lifeline in my palms. I see my spiritual lifeline in my palms.
Nice, nice. That was really nice. That was really nice right there.
Thank you.
Very professional, very clean, and very clear. So tell us a little bit more about that actual song. What exactly were you talking about and trying to get people to envision through your words?
I was trying to get them to envision, just take them on a journey, like a story. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, that I grew up in, you know, a neighborhood where it was love and it was family, but, you know, outside, I still had to deal with, it was gang, you know, gangs in the neighborhoods, and you might have had, like I said, bottles on the street, but we still loved our stuff. We still had that black pride. I still had a beautiful household inside with a mother and a father there to nurture me, but I still, you know, hung out with my friends. And also just going through that journey, like, you know, going to Chicago public schools, going through the journey of having to deal with sometimes the public school system was not the best, but I still learned and I still pushed forward throughout all of that. And also in the end, that the message is to go within and to find that treasure within, to find your divine within, to find that strength and find my purpose, which is my poetry and my words to heal the nation. So it's just kind of taking you on a journey.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for that, sister. I'm sorry we lost Brother Arvin. Another, he dropped off the line, but yes. I think he's back now. Brother Arvin,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay, yes, sir.
Do we have any questions on the line?
Not yet, sir, but I just want to tell you, sister, that is a beautiful artistry that you're doing, and I'm an admirer of your husband's work because I follow the Traveling Museum all the time. And
oh, great.
Yes, ma'am. As a matter of fact, I have one of his photos in my archives with him and Minister Farrakhan. So yes, ma'am. I've been following it for a long time. So it's a small world. And, you know, I think the two of you complement each other with your artistry. So I thank you for joining us tonight, and I really do appreciate your work.
Oh, thank you. He'll be happy to hear that. I'll let him know. He'll definitely be happy to hear that. I always got to give it up to my husband. His work inspires me. We actually met when I was performing. I was traveling performing, and he was traveling with his museum, and that's when we met. So sisters always ask me, I said, do your purpose, and everything else will fall into place.
Absolutely. So what a powerful couple in the arts and cultural ministry.
Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Okay, Brother Arvin.
Wonderful, wonderful. So a couple more. Does anyone else on the line, the song that you just heard from Taslim Jamila, do you have any feedback on it? How did you like it?
We have some people on the line, but I guess they're just shy and don't want to say anything. We got a couple of people in the chat room, so, you know.
That's fine.
So we'll ask another. Go ahead.
I said, I just put it like this. If they don't hang up, they must like it.
Exactly. In that order. So,
yes,
Sister Tasleem, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead,
Tom. All right, so Sister Tasleem, another question about the song, Chi-Town City Life. What inspires you in your poetry?
Wow, it's different with every poem. Sometimes I may just be sitting somewhere and a phrase comes to me, or I see a situation on the internet, I'm reading something, or I'm just sitting contemplating and thinking. A lot of poetry comes to me when I'm actually moving in motion. I might be cleaning up, cooking, walking, because I walk a lot. And so a lot of poetry comes to me that way. And sometimes I actually personalize poetry also for specific events, or I've written poetry for weddings. So I'll custom design poetry. So I'll sit. Sometimes I had to do one for a wedding, and a very good friend of mine, and I knew her and her husband, and I just kind of thought about their relationship and what I knew about them, and custom designed it. But it comes from all kinds of like situations. I have poems about almost everything you can think of, and I'm always, want to challenge myself to write about something else new, and I try to stay relevant and current when I write also. So some of my poems are maybe about current events that are going on, but mainly just life itself, not just my life, but other people's lives, because we all interconnected. So I try to write about everything.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, you're in Chicago, and unfortunately, I'm in Chicago as well. So unfortunately, the city of Chicago right now, it's a lot of violence going on, a lot of innocent young people in particular losing their life to a senseless act, and we just lost a young teenager from Martin Luther King High School. She was with her friends in the park, and someone just jumped the fence and started shooting at them, and she was an innocent person. She tried to run. She got hit in the back, and now she's gone. So in reference to your poetry, you're in Chicago, how do you think you can relate to the youth to get them to direct their energy towards more positive things instead of the senseless violence that's going on?
Yes. Actually, I live in between, I always call it three cities, Detroit, Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Chicago. But yeah, Chicago, I was really hurt when I heard that and I read that, because I know several people who their children were either friends with her, they were familiar with her. So I think it was just a tragedy when I saw that, just an innocent young lady who has such a, like you said, a excellent, bright future. So my heart and my prayers are out to her family. But we, and I asked a question. I know I saw going around Facebook, a lot of people were like, okay, well, what do you do now? Because you already have over 40. She had over 40 deaths in January. This is just the beginning of the year, 2013. So we ask, like, what can be done? So I think with each person, it may not be always the same thing, just one cookie-cutter solution. I think we all, people of sense and of good spirit and right hearts, we all have to put some work in, to do something. And the way I choose to give back is to go into the school. And with my company, My Soul Speaks, I have a Youth Speaks Collective. We're going into the schools, and I've been in the detention centers and as well as the jails, but to let them know who they are. And the good way to get to them is through the arts. But to teach them to give them that love of who you are, because obviously the ones who are doing that don't value life, and you don't know what kind of situations that they're coming from, their household, where maybe the mother doesn't value her life, or she has no self-love for herself, or she's, you know, stressed out, probably don't even know where her children are. But I think with each one, we have to do our part in whatever we can do with where we are. But as a sane human being and as a sane person, I think we can't make any more excuses, and we have to really take it back to the street and get those youth like that. And if we know of something that's going on, like they say, I know they have a reward out for her to speak up, because that was just, you know, so senseless. And every life is valuable, but you know, this one, I mean, especially like I said, hit home so close. So many of my friends and their parents knew her, so definitely we almost do our part.
Yeah, that's wonderful and wonderful explanation right there. So we most definitely thank you for that. Yeah, most definitely. So I definitely feel everything you were saying. I'm in Chicago, so I mean, it's so much, and I try to do my part and many others too, but it's so much happening at the same time in different places. It's hard to be in more than one place at the same time. And what do you think you want to see more from celebrities or people who have high influence in music, whether it's rap or poetry or singing or what have you, business people? What do you want to see from celebrities that they could give of their celebrity towards the youth to get them to listen to them and give them a positive message about calming down on the virus?
I think the best thing that they could do, like you said, they have a platform, they have a voice, they have they have their ears. So that's the most important thing. So if you have the artists and the celebrities that are in the mainstream media, the most important thing, even if they don't give money, yeah, that would be great to build community centers, to build safe havens in our neighborhoods. But if they would just give their voice and say, just to let them know, like, hey, shooting is not the way. Like, we need to stop the violence, just to really talk to them, I think they will listen, because they listen to them with everything else, you know, with the violence and promoting it in the music. So if they would just use their voice just to speak out against it and to let them know, and to come in their neighborhoods and talk to them. Come, you know, set up platforms where they have them come out and talk to them. And I know if you had some of the artists, especially some of the rap artists who are really big, it would definitely be crowded. And I think they will listen to them. So just using their voice to voice out against it, to let them know to stop the killing, basically.
That's great. That's great. I actually experienced that the young rapper Diggy Simmons, who is the nephew of Russell Simmons and the son of Reverend Ron Simmons, he came to Chicago a couple of weeks ago for Chicago Stop the Violence movement, and he put on a whole concert at a big, huge venue full of young people, all teenagers.
Great. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. They filled it up. He talked to them and let them know they could do better things, and he gave them a full and complete concert. They had a ball.
That's great. So, yeah, need more of that. So, wonderful.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So we're going to go to one of our artists who is a sponsor. They're not on the line right now to be interviewed, but they sponsored our event today, and they have a song that they want to play. And the name of this artist is AK-47, but
okay.
the name doesn't actually match the language and the promotion and the idea of the song. They're actually talking positive. So,
okay.
I mean, this is a young group as well. It's two of them. They're two young teenagers from Chicago. and their aim is to talk to the youth in Chicago through music. So we're going to play their song real quick, and after their song, we're going to come directly back to you for some more poetry. You can do some freestyles and however many more poetry we want to hear some more.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, great. So we're going to play the song right now. This song is called King. It's from a young group, teenagers, two people. They're called AK-47. Check it out.
AK. Yeah. New world. Song T.
Yellow beat. Holla at me.
Right. Yeah, it's a new day. Right up in that face, that AK-47 spray. Right about the shower, that son of man late. Preparing for the night, so yeah, we working all day. Yeah, we working all.
47 be looking like they help.
Raise them up.
In the regime be looking like they some help.
Raise them up.
Since I said I ain't going back to being pro. No, I swear I ain't going back to being pro. No, okay, that 47 be looking like they help.
Raise them up.
In the regime be looking like they some help.
Raise them up.
Since I said I ain't going back to being pro. No, I swear I ain't going back to being broke. No,
okay, now give me that money while I give you these lessons. These niggas thought it was funny. Getting letters like dressing. I'm all up in that new crescent with the star in the middle.
Real.
Controlling my blessing and put Farad in the middle. And now I'm back from my skills. These women tasting the boat.
Right.
Now we building an ark. I hope you niggas can float. We just stuck in the plane.
What?
You just stuck in the lane.
What?
Get the F out our lane.
What?
But you suckers get slain.
Come on.
No more time for the game. Only time for the rain. Only time for the truth. No more time for the pain. I just hope that I'm able.
Right.
No more time for the cane. Give respect to the maker, so I'm creating the same. And I just hope if I'm slain, it's in the name of Allah. Just pray my brothers don't find you, or you gon' need you a lot. A lot of people behind you because they come in and kill. And I'm a R.I.P. cause it's part of his will, but still.
47 be looking like they hell.
Raise
them up. In the regime be looking like they some help.
Raise them up.
That's why I ain't going back to being broke.
No,
I swear I ain't going back to being broke. No, okay, number 7 be looking like they hell.
Raise them up.
In the regime be looking like they some help.
Raise them up.
That's why I ain't going back to being broke.
No,
I swear I ain't going back to being broke.
Okay, 47 on the brain.
Right.
Domination is the aim.
Right.
Pockets overflow with money. Highly doubt you hear some change.
No,
never doubt the changes come and hand it over, torch and flame. Can I go by K-Dub if I forgot to say my name? I'm from that city where they'll have to rob you for your chain. And think twice before you walk about the crib without a thing.
Yeah.
All you hit these walls is quick to spin a couple at your brain. You can call me K-Dub if I forgot to say my name. Never walk with fit because I hear what's this it out.
Yeah.
Couple days you go unmissing, then next week you go unmission.
True.
Be accustomed to the killings, man, out here this shit's insane.
Great.
Can I go by K-Dub if I forgot to say my name? Walking round the king, you better stay up on your toes.
Go.
And I can see the chick up in you, boy, today you
go.
Get exposed.
Go.
And I got your game frozen like you rappers trying to pose. And try to catch me while I'm sleeping, thanks to you I never doze, bud.
47 be looking like they hell. Raising the regime be looking like they some hell. Raising, that's why I ain't going back to being broke. No, I swear I ain't going back to being broke. No, okay, the 47 be looking like they hell. Raising the regime be looking like they some hell. Raising, that's why I ain't going back to being broke. No, I swear I ain't going back to being broke. No.
Yo, 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 yo.
Yes.
Yo, yo. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
Bing, bong, bing. That's what it is, man. What's going on? Price get
Tony
for the BXL
Wild
calling
Tony.
In. What's going on, sweetie? What's going on?
It ain't
how
nothing. We're just enjoying this queen and enjoying music. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Just happy to be here, man. Nation Builders. What's good? What's good, sis? What's poppin'?
Nothing, man.
Quick.
We celebrating Young, Gifted, and Black. That's all. You gonna stay around for a minute and freestyle for us?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Just let me know when.
Okay, stay on the line.
Bing, bong, bing.
Yes, sir. All right, Brother Arvins, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to go back to Taslim Jamila. That's Sister Taslim, you still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, do you have another piece or two that you're going to showcase tonight?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, so whenever you ready. You ready now?
Sure.
Okay. This piece is called I'm Coming. I'm coming like a bat out of hell because I'm just plain tired of all the haters on the outside and inside me, but they just got fired. You see, my soul is not for hire. My real intention be God's desires. That's why I'm constantly, continuously, and endlessly inspired. See, some people's negative energy be so thick I can see it before I turn around in the back of me. Coming from the right, the left, all angles like it's smacking me. Trying to figure out where I'm going and what I'm doing. See, they be tracking me. But God surrounds me like a 100-foot cement wall against those attacking me. So ain't no backtracking me. On my road to heaven, I got to run through hell. But I'm leaving poetry pages for generations to decode my warrior trails. It's like I got reincarnated Muhammad and Malcolm X, Adams, and Sales. They say being a little black girl in America, you stripped and molested before birth. So as a baby, my first thirst was to be quenched with knowledge and wisdom when I was nursed. So I wouldn't just say hyped up, never devoting, but just quoting the latest Quran or Bible verse. See, I'm the daughter of those millions who were martyred, slaughtered, saints, and headstrong, who worked in 100-degree weather and carried babies on their hips and their backbones, who knew they were spiritual first. They made victory at war. They made Salat and Mata's tombstones. Through any adversity, they kept strong. In the city and the suburbs, everybody's confused. Illusional lifestyles misused. So-called role models, man, even their parents confused. They need to eat my words for breakfast so they have some real nourishment before school. Bathe and baptize in my lyrics so in the summertime they stay cool. You see most people, they phony, they transparent, they see through. It's kind of like we all cross-eyed because we look at each other and we see too. Some just can't see truth because they backed up like 50 years of backed up semen. Fake flossing on the outside, but inside they screaming because they too impatient to reach their own demons. See, God is taking me through struggle to end at my perfection, to completely cure and heal any of my imperfections. See, I'm going to be like those who are no longer in need of reading books to teach. I'm going to be like those who believe in God's powers to reach. I'm going to be like those whose actions line up with the words that they speak. See, y'all, it's real out here. People stay stressed. The press hyped up and they stay blunted. So that's why I don't stay stagnated and stunted. And I'm striving hard and well, I'm restless, but I'm never breathless. That's why I gotta come like a bat out of hell, cause I'm just plain tired of all the haters on the outside and inside me, but they just got fired. You see, my soul is not for hire. My real intention be God's desires. That's why I'm constantly, continuously, and endlessly inspired. See, I'm a revolutionary, freeing souls without retire.
Whoa, 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 that was fire.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Does anyone else on the line, the poem you just heard, how did you like it?
It was beautiful. Oh, powerful, powerful.
That was one of the most awesome forms of spoken word I have ever heard, and I'm almost 50 years old, so that was wonderful, sister. I'm telling you, that means a whole lot, and I hope that you constantly recite that poem, especially for our younger generation, to let them know that their souls are not for hire. Amen.
Oh, man, praise to God. I mean, I thank everybody for, you know, tuning in, having me here, and giving me the feedback. That means a lot to me. And to talk about, like I talked about earlier, my husband just reminded me that his museum will actually be in Chicago, and it's a free event. It's at Concordia University in Oak Park on Monday from 10 to 5 p.m. So you have to come out and check out the Black History 101 Mobile Museum at Concordia University in Oak Park on this Monday.
Yes, and you tell your husband that I said, he's my Facebook friend, you tell him that I said he cannot be sending messages, but he is always welcome anytime to come on the show.
Okay, great. Yeah, he's sitting here listening right now.
Well, tell him to come on and give us the greetings.
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Assalamu alaikum, beloved brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fine. This is Sister Gidget, Aziza Mariam Muhammad from Facebook. I always follow you on Facebook and look at your pictures and borrow some and share some, you know. So that's me.
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, pass the word, send the information out. Yeah, I appreciate you. Thanks for the support.
Yes, sir. Yes, I love your work, and please keep doing what you're doing. Our history is so very important, and if we don't teach our history, no one else will. So, brother, I thank you for your work, and I really appreciate you and your wife. You all are a powerful team together in arts and culture, and I really, really appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yeah.
Great, great. Now, Sister Tatum, the poem you just recited, because what was your inspiration of even thinking to write that poem and to recite it?
Well, my inspiration, someone had told me that I need to stop doing poetry and find something else to do, and that everybody's doing it, so who cares about it? And I said, okay. You know, I'm a martial artist, and I use that as my sparring partner. So instead of just going shrinking in the corner and let that affect me in a bad way, I said, okay, I'm gonna write a poem. This is gonna be my anthem, and an anthem for all those who are gonna keep going, and you're fighting against the negativity, and you're gonna keep going to be a champion in your own life. So that's just like my champion poem.
Wonderful, 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 excellent. Now, you have another one for us, right? I mean, I'm excited.
Yes.
I listen to all of your stuff on CD, baby. I'm listening.
Okay, I'm going to do one especially for the sisters, but the brothers love this as well. And
okay.
It's called Divine Love.
Okay.
As teenagers, even adults, any man spitting the right words like, I love you. Oh, sisters, we give it all up, or we're done, or we're through. But what we don't realize, see, we're looking for divine love that can only come from the Creator. You see, He created all creation with love, so whose love could be greater? Aren't you tired of all these empty relationships? Oh, I love you, baby. Oh, I love you, too. You see, real love comes from the divine source. Real love is divine love given to you that connects you to your soul and connects you to your real being. You see, this is not me or you that you're physically seeing. I said our bodies are not us, and we're not our bodies. We spend so much time on this. Is my clothes tight? Is my hair just right? Of course, you take the best of care of your physical body, but what about also taking care of your soul? What about connecting to your real essence? What about letting your real self unfold? See, sisters, some of us actually spend so much time on who has the less clothes on, or who gets the most whistles or stares, or who wears the best clothes, Gucci, Burberry, or who has the prettiest hair. See, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Don't you know God wants your love, girl? He's the creator of all these faces. And some of y'all got 3 or 4 baby daddies, and you're pregnant again? You got your children all confused. When this madness gonna end? I said, this body is not us, and we're not our bodies. See, we confused about this. That's why we don't nurture and cherish our souls. That's why we go through the same old drama. That's why we never grow. But when you truly ask for that divine love that encompasses all, then you're able to love yourself, help others, then stand tall. See, most of y'all are some liars because you say you love God and you love everybody else too. But how you going to have love for someone else if you ain't got love for you? I see, how you going to have love for someone else if you ain't got love for self? We so desperate. We just want to feel love from anybody who seems like he cares for us. And we wonder why it didn't work. See, it wasn't real in the first place. Then you left looking sick with disgust. I know, sister, you just want somebody to love you and not have to put up a front or a show. But God created you with love, girls. And here's the divine sisters, don't you know? See, it's okay to be by yourself and with your creator for a little while. It's okay to take some time to love yourself. It's okay to take some time to reconcile. See, God say, why you spend so much time trying to please them and not me? You see, who's the one that determines your decree? You see, when he gives you the divine love, that's love that you can give back from your heart unconditionally. That's when divine oceans, mercy, blessings, power takes over and possesses you from thee. So don't just try to get someone to help you material gain, because in the end, you only cheated your soul again. And when the soul is activated, it could be dynamic on this physical plane. And then you too, you can draw from the heavens to maintain. Because when God loves you, I said when God truly loves you, that's really all that needs to be said. He'll give you all things, material, physical, spiritual. In all ways, you'll be fed. And then your beauty, it'll be a real beauty, not just this thick layer of skin. Because real beauty, divine beauty, that emanates from the soul within. And then your false sense of self will start to disappear, and you for real will start to come clear. See, you can't measure the soul because it has an unlimited connection that'll give you unlimited direction. This is only one ray of our physical form, so don't let your mind trick you to conform. You see, you're a paradise being, so take your place on your throne, you paradise queen. See, you and your Lord's relationship to be as tight as twists, so no man or woman can come between it. And then when you do finally get that soulmate who you've been waiting for, you're not starving for someone to tell you how beautiful and special you are to feel complete once more. Your relationship will be based on divine love, power, and trust. It won't be based on drama, confusion, madness, and lust. And then you're able to be that real role model for your children to imitate the crown of creation that you are for them to emulate. So it don't matter, sisters, whatever you've been through, we all got a divine destiny. So pray to God, God, please bring out the best in me. And then you'll truly be able to have that divine love for someone else, because you have that unconditional divine love for yourself.
Oh, bravo, bravo. Awesome. Awesome. We're going to go to the lines on that one real quick before we ask us some questions. Anyone on the line who just heard the poem, how do you feel about that?
Something like about that.
Well, Islam. So who's speaking?
Brother Frank, bro.
Yes, sir, Brother Frank. You have any words for Sister Tasleem in the poem?
Sister, I'm sitting up here writing. You didn't just wind up. Y'all inspired me. I done went and got my peanut pad out. I'm sitting up here writing. I mean, it's beautiful.
What's this about?
I'm sitting up here. I'm like, man, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to go and get my pen and pad out. It's beautiful.
That's great.
Y'all gave me some inspiration. I pray, man. So y'all keep doing y'all thing. And I'll bless you and continue on blessing you all.
Thank you so much, brother. And that's what it's about. We have to keep inspiring each other. And that's what it's about. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
Is that Brother Frank Hudson?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Wrong Frank.
I'm up here in Chicago as well. I'm the brother. They're coming to find a call up here. We get to step aside to Salam.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Well, sister, I just want to tell you, sister, you know, I hope that you publish that poem somewhere and really give it to, you know, anybody. You know, you need to kind of maybe put it in flyer form and just walk the streets and pass it out, because that is so motivational. And that
Thank
is
you,
so
sister.
Needed today, sister. So please, with the Lord's permission, keep doing that work.
Thank
please.
You, sister. And it is on my CD, which is online. And also I have it on YouTube. You can listen to it. So it is published on my CD. And also I have a book that's coming out this year, God willing, also. And it'll be in the book also in written form, because I've had so many people, when I perform it, even though I have it on a CD, they want to hear it. I've even, you know, printed out copies and given it to them, because they said, no, I need to read this. I need to post this up. So when I get up in the morning, I can read this. And I tell them, I said, this was a healing to me at a time in my life, and I still always go back to it to remember that we are more than just our physical form, that the most important relationship is loving myself and the Creator, and one with the Creator. I am one with the Creator. And when I have that, I have everything. So it doesn't matter if you know, sisters, I always tell them, it don't matter if you're married, you're single, it doesn't matter. If you don't have love for yourself, if you don't cherish yourself, if you don't know how dynamic you are, none of that even matters. So this is also a point for me. I still say it to myself sometimes when I'm working out, to remind me of who I am and who I'm connected to, and that I am divine. So I tell all the sisters that loving yourself first and really truly getting to know yourself, then everything else will come into place, and it will be truly beautiful. You have a beautiful life because you're not depending on someone else to tell you that you are beautiful, because you know that, because you'll be striving to do the best thing for your body, mind, and spirit, because you are a queen. And queens, we don't just put up with anything. We are royalty, and we treat ourselves that way. We teach other people how to treat ourselves. So when you treat yourself well, you're showing someone else how to treat you.
You better teach. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yes, ma'am. That's all I can say on that one is yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
A couple of questions that I have concerning that poem you just recited.
Yes.
What was your inspiration behind that one? It sounds like, you know, I was really, really happy. I'm happy to hear all of your stuff, but that one right there, I was really, really, really happy to hear it, because I'm always big on respecting women and getting women to see themselves in a more positive light, you know, because then men wouldn't be able to disrespect women the way they do, you know, if that happened. So what's your inspiration behind that one in particular, and why did you feel you needed to speak particularly on that subject?
Well, I wrote it at a time in my life when going through a transition and changing, and I knew that I needed to get closer to loving myself. Even though I always say, yeah, I do, I love myself, but really, I wasn't talking about just the physical, but the authentic me. Like, really, do I love everything about me? That how Allah created me, everything, my essence, who I am. Like, who am I? And just to really sit with myself and love every inch of myself, and not have to. I was talking to actually one of my friends on the phone, another sister, and we were just talking about just that sisterhood and that self-love before we even get into a relationship to get married. Because if you don't have that, then you're not starting off on the right foot, on the right path. And so I wrote it at a time to myself to remind myself, like, okay, you got to go deeper inside yourself, because I don't want to feel needy when I get someone. I want to know that I am a queen. I want to already be that and to continue to grow into that. So it was a combination of my own and just other sisters that I know, kind of, you know, just our conversations and things that they're going through. I kind of put my story and their stories in it also, and kind of wrapped it all up into one. And just to know every time I read that, and I have sisters who cry when I perform that and say, I needed to hear that. I need that, because I'm going through something now, and I'm putting somebody else before me that's not treating me right. And to know that you don't have to put up with that, because you know, you are royalty. Like I say, you teach people how to treat you. When you treat yourself well, someone else will know, like, okay, these are the standards of how I'm supposed to treat you. But sometimes as sisters, we might not have got that love from our fathers as little girls, and so we're always searching for that. So we feel like we're needy. And we haven't spent time to say, okay, what do I really want? Who am I really? And what do I really want? To set your standards on the standards of universal divine love, of the higher, the creator standards for you, not society standards or someone else's standards. So that's why I wrote that. I pray that it's a movement, because sisters, we really, really need that. When we get it together, like they say, no nation can rise higher than woman. It's so true. We get it together, they don't have a choice. We are the co-creators. We are the ones who actually the first teachers in the home. And if we all stick together and we have each other's back, sides, front, everything has to fall into place. Don't have a choice, because they can't live without us.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, that particular poem, it's so piercing to the soul with so much information. So have you ever performed that particular poem to women in general?
Oh, yes. Many, many times. Young girls in high school, in detention centers, yes. And every time someone, I have people have tears in their eyes, and and come up to me and give me hugs and say, I need to hear this again. So it's time, the sisters, you know, they say, I don't have any money to give your CD. I'm like, here, you can have this one for free. I'll download it, I'll email it to you, because I want people, the message is more important, and I want to get across, especially I have such a love, and I do workshops, divine love and self-love workshops for teens and women, and I do sister healing circles, and it's so important because I talked earlier about my company, My Soul Speaks, and I just relaunched my website this week. It's mysoulspeaks.wix.com. That's my other site. And it's more of a mission now because a lot spoke to me and said it's greater than you. I've had 3 aunts and 2 cousins pass away of cancer. My second cousin just passed on Friday, and she was only 43. Yeah, she was only 43. And I said, okay, I have to take this to a bigger level of body, mind, spirit, because a lot of times we know when we have cancer and fibroids, they're caused by other things that are like the stress, not loving ourselves, those unfulfilled dreams. You wanted to be a poet. You wanted to have your own business, but you boggle down, you know, at a job or in a bad relationship, or you're afraid to just be yourself and to blossom and to have someone that's there to say go for it, to be in your cheering section and so you can cheer yourself on. So that's my mission. Now I have a workshop coming up in April, on April 6th in Chicago, that I'll be doing for Women's Healing Circle. And you can check my website for the location, more information. But that is my mission, because I love my sisters as I love myself. And as I heal myself, I started my mission of healing and holistic living when I was 16, when my first aunt passed away. And that devastated me, but not to go in a corner and cry and be sad, but it moved me to in motion on this movement, and I will continue, God willing, forever on this. And so I love my sisters, and I really want you all to love yourself and to know that you are dynamic. So if you need to email me, just talk or whatever, I'm here for you.
Wonderful. Going through those trials, it's actually showing through your poetry, the purification that's happening in your soul right now. I just need to say that to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, because it was, like I said, my cousin just passed Friday, and, you know, I said, okay, I really have to keep going, and it just reminds you to take it to the next level to help more people, not only just in my family, but as many sisters and people that I can get to with my purpose and with my words, because that's the reason why I do what I do.
Hello.
Yes, I'm still here, brother. And but again, thank you for having me on the show. I'm so honored. Anytime I get to put my message out, I never take it for granted, and I'm grateful for you having this platform for artists and for positive people to come on and to share their work with.
We appreciate you, sister, so much. Thank you. I think we lost Brother Arvin's again.
Okay.
You might be having some technical difficulties with his phone. But, sister, we appreciate you and your husband. Please keep going forward, and please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sister. And you guys, keep up with the show. Keep inspiring people. And let's stay connected so we can really, it's all about everybody connecting together and really spreading the love and the positivity and good energy, because we need it right now.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. That's what we intend to do. And y'all stick around, because Brother Arvin's, he has a Black History quiz, and he's giving away a free ticket to Savior. So you might not want to miss that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to actually go into one of those Black History questions real quick. And I tried to make it a little difficult, but, I mean, it's Black History Month. We know a whole lot about our own history already. So the first question, the question that I have to everyone online is, are y'all ready? All right, this is the question. What, can you hear me? What Black journalist fought for civil rights in the civil rights movement and fought and wrote against lynching blacks and fought for women's rights.
Oh, we're going to have to think about that one, Brother Arvin. Say the question again.
Yeah, what black female journalist was an African-American journalist and newspaper editor who wrote and fought for civil rights, lynching, and fought for women's rights? Black female journalist from Chicago, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
How's this?
Yes, sir.
That was in the books, right?
Slam again.
Is that Gwendolyn Brooks?
Nah, you're close, though. You're close. It's not Gwendolyn Brooks. The name, you're close, though.
Okay, you got to give us another clue. What else did she do?
She was actually, she had a newspaper named, she had her own newspaper, actually, and she was actually a slave as a child. She was born in 1862, and she passed in 1931. She was a civil rights and women's rights activist, black female journalist.
Okay, I'm trying not to Google. I'm not going to cheat.
Anybody think of it? You very long. Say the name. You're going to go, oh, wow.
I don't know. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
No, I don't guess. You say she passed away in 1931.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Did she write plays as well?
Yes, she did.
Did she write Raisin in the Sun?
Yes.
Okay, I know who she is.
Who is she?
Oh, what's her name? Is it Lorraine Hansberry or something like that?
No.
She wrote Raisin in the Sun. I know what her name is. Hold on. I'm going to tell you in a minute. I can't win the ticket, though, so you're going to have to give it away to somebody else.
All the lines are open, so if anybody could think who this black female journalist is.
Yeah, I know her whole story, and I can't think of her name, but I know she died of cancer. I think, hold on. Okay. No, that's not her. So it's not Lorraine Hansberry.
Or no, it's not.
Okay, well, she didn't write Raisin in the Sun then. Because that's who wrote that one. Hold on. I'm gonna try to give some other clues. Okay.
I sure think you Google it.
I know who it is. Okay.
You ain't cheating.
I'm going to give y'all a clue. I'm going to help them figure it out.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let me see. Wow. let me see. Okay, she actually began her fight for justice in the city of Memphis. That still didn't help? Okay, let me see.
We might have to get them to answer and go to the next question.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the famous black history female journalist I'm speaking of is Ida B. Wells.
Yes. Yep.
Wonderful. Okay, so we don't have another question now. I'm quite sure somebody on the line could get this one. Okay, y'all ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Black history question number two. Who led 2 million black men to Washington, D.C., and in what year?
No, please.
Somebody say something.
You already know when we know the answer.
Hey, somebody better speak for these tickets.
We
know who it is, but it wouldn't be fair for me to say.
Okay, you know the answer, Brother Frank?
Well, we said then we just give tickets to somebody then, if I said. You already know we're going to be there, so.
All of the mics are open online, so area code 865 if you know the answer, area code 832 if you know the answer.
That's you.
Okay, the Black History question right now. Just get this right. Get tickets to hear Minister Farrakhan in Chicago live, all right, February 24th on Sunday. The question is, who led 2 million black men to Washington, D.C., what year?
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak up? I can't hear it.
You said what year? You
want to
say the year? Just
to
give a ticket to somebody?
Yeah, who led black man to Washington, D.C., and what year did he do it?
1995, October
16th. Okay,
right.
Who did it?
The Honorable Minister of Farrakhan.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it. Our first caller won our first Black History Trivia question. You got free head to Savior's Day to hear Minister Farrakhan live. All right, so your number is up. Your number is showing up on the call line. So what? You're the 773 number, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 773-426.
Yes, sir.
All right. What I'm gonna do after the show? I'm going to give you a call, and I'm going to link up with you, and you can tell me where I can send you your ticket, all right?
That's cool.
All right, excellent. So I'm going to call you after, so, all right? So everyone
cool.
On the line right now, what we're doing is this is our first Black History Month Saturday show. So what we're doing is giving away free tickets to hear Minister Farrakhan live here in Chicago Sunday, February 24th. Live at the UIC Pavilion in Chicago. All right. The question. Our first question was kind of hard, and you know people couldn't really figure it out. So you're gonna lighten it up a little bit because we do want to give away these tickets to hear this very timely message that he has. So our next question is, what black civil rights?
Brother Arvin, we can't hear you.
I don't know what, but I'm going to give it to somebody that, you know, that want to go. So we already agreed there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't answer, because it's not going to be fair if we already going to be there. But hopefully, brother, you can give that ticket to somebody who is willing to go and listen to our messenger. So we're going to wait for Brother Arvis to come back on the line. But in the meantime, we're going to move on to our freestyle session. We got about the last 20 minutes of the show. So,
you know what I want to do? I want to ask you, because like I said, Sister's name that inspired me, because I've been writing for a while, but I guess you never knew I wrote, but I want to say if you, you know, read one of my poems or something, you know, in the last 20 minutes for that.
Okay, I'm sorry, brother, can you repeat your question?
No, I just asked 20 minutes, but I want to read one of my poems or whatever. You know, since the sisters inspired me, because I've been writing for a while, but I just never told nobody. So.
Okay, brother, go ahead and recite your poem.
No, okay, this one is called Slave. Getting out of our dreams.
Okay, wait a minute, brother, I'm sorry. Do you have your computer on in the background?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can you cut it down, because it's interfering? We can't hear you very well.
Okay. Yeah, it's called Slave. Getting out of our dreams. Getting out of our dreams like that of a slave, standing firm like Moses, bonded by that of truth and that of the world, with that of love and death like that of night, and that of thundering, getting out of our dreams like that of a slave being oppressed, like that of Babylon with chains waiting to be free, like that of a slave overlooking the purple moon, getting out of our dreams, like that of an erupted volcano waiting to explode, like a slave running for us at night, getting out of our dreams.
Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
That was nice. It was short, but it was lovely, brother. How long you been writing?
Since 91.
Oh, okay. Great. So maybe we can invite you back and you will give us some stuff out of your memoirs.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I really know where to get in contact with me at. You know, so yes, ma'am. Definitely. This is my first time listening to the radio station.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're glad to have you.
Yes, sir.
This is beautiful. Yeah. We need this. All the believers need this. This is something, you know, spreading the word and stuff like that. We need this.
Okay, yes, sir. And thank you for sharing with us, Brother Frank, so much. Well, Arvind, I'm glad that you made it back. So, because we want to hear about you tonight as well. So we got about 16 minutes before the show ends. And
okay.
Brother Arvind, tell us about the Ranks music. What is that about?
The Ranks music is a conscious hip-hop rap group started out with four core members who had an idea to start rapping consciously and to stop rapping about the madness they used to rap about. The four members were myself, a brother named Reznu, who is an artist who goes by the name of Your God Brother, another brother named Kareem, and another brother named Timothy. So we started the rap group, and we were doing it for fun, and we recorded a mixtape and everything. We started passing it out for fun, like, you know, check this out. So, I mean, we built a buzz so big, we said, uh-oh, we got to get serious about this now, because people are calling for it, and we can't let them down now, you know. So we started making music, and we just been improving ourselves. And our aim in making conscious music is to not only reach the youth and get them to think in a better way and get them to use their talents in a better way, but everyone who would listen, everyone, whoever you are, whatever religion you're in. I mean, our music, we don't impose any type of way on anyone.
We don't misjudge anyone in our lyrics. You won't hear any of that. It's strictly hip-hop. It's fresh. It's brand new. You know, anybody can relate to it. It's fresh, you know. So that's what the Ranks music is about.
Yes, sir. And so how many artists are... I mean, I know you named four, but are there more artists now than when you first started, or it's just you guys?
There's actually more artists because the more music we started to make, the more of a buzz we started to create. More people said, you know, I rap, man, and I want to do something better with my talent. So we said, okay, you know, let's hear what you got. And the people that were really, really good, we said, wow, you know, we could actually use you to help us in this call to market better rap music, because the rap music that's out now, you know, is not too good. I mean, you can hear disrespecting people and disrespecting women and all that. I mean, you can hear that on the street. I mean, you don't have to buy somebody's album to hear all that. You can hear that from people talking to each other on the street corner or something like that, you know, for free. You know what I mean? So we don't make music that's disrespectful. We actually make music that respects women and uplifts women and teaches men how to respect themselves and women and everybody else. I mean, like I said, it's not preachy or anything like that. It's nice, man. And I think God really just blessed us with that talent and the way that we can actually use that talent to help everybody else out there, because a lot of people really like listening to it.
Okay, listen, if you have your computers on, please mute your computers because we cannot hear. Some of you I know may be in love with your own voices, but these shows are recorded, so you can go back and listen later. Thank you so much. Okay, so Brother August, when you started the Ranks Music, what was the goal? What were you trying to do besides deliver a conscious and clean message? What was your goal when you first started this, and where do you see this going?
When we first started it, like I said, we were just doing it for fun, just to make some music, just to give us something to do to keep us out of trouble, you know? Because, I mean, if you're not doing something, trouble will find you, whether you the type of troublesome person or not. And we're not the type of troublesome people, so we wanted to do something. I mean, being around each other and being in the studio, we love music. I mean, we would listen to music. Our DJ was a real DJ, a real thoughtful dude, and he had thought some stuff. I mean, the energy was just always high, man. And we're working with a producer right now who actually produced Twista and Selena Johnson and a lot of other big people. So, I mean, we have that professionalism working with us now to help us bring out more of our talent. And our goal right now, right now we're moving into becoming a real actual business so that we can move into higher plateaus to reach more people at one time. You know, so right now that's our goal right now. And it's going very well. People love the music, and we want to help change the bad condition of rap and hip-hop right now back into that rap music everybody used to love listening to, like Public Enemy and Tribe Called Quest, and a lot of other good rappers, you know, from back in the day. But it's all going to be, we want to help bring back that feeling of good music. When you listen to that music, you can actually hear something that you want to hear and that you need to hear and what you won't hear in any school. You know what I mean? So that's our goal right now, man, is to reach everybody in all genres. We have poets now. We have business people working with us now. We have other rappers. We have some singers. And, I mean, we just going all the way across the board because there's always room for improvement in everyone and in every genre. So we just going all the way across the board.
All right, so why don't you tell us, play a song for us and then come back and tell us the history about it. So rock us one, Brother Arvin.
All right. Let's see. The one that I have available at the moment is by myself, actually. I'm the only one on this song. I'm really not the solo artist type. I'm more the group person. I'm more into the business aspect because I always wanted to learn how things actually work, and I always wanted to be the one involved in things, you know, how things actually work and actually work things, you know. So the everyone else in the group, they say, man, you're a good rapper. You need to do a solo song. I'm like, I don't know, man. You know, that's not really my thing. And they said, look, I got this beat. I was going to write to it, and I wanted you to write to it with. But they said, this is this beat, man. The theme is, you know, uplifting a woman, talking about a woman, you know, in a positive way and getting people to think about a woman in a positive way and treat her right. And I said, good, because I was thinking about writing about a song like that anyway. So they said, I'm going to just give the whole song to you. I don't want to be on it no more. You can have it. I said, uh-oh. So they kind of sucked me into it. So I said, you know, I go with it. And I prayed on it, actually, because I respect women so highly. And, you know, so I actually prayed on the lyrics to the song. I didn't just want to say anything. And right after I prayed, the words came to me immediately. So this song is just by myself. It's called Courting You. And this song is about courtship. It's about meeting a woman. It's about having a proper mindset towards meeting a woman. It's not just about sex. You know, it's about really living together, compromise, growing together, and, you know, really and worthwhile out of it, enjoying the best from each other in a relationship or in a marriage. So this song right here is by myself. I'm Arvis Muhammad. It's called Courting You. Check it out.
I know you've been going through back and forth between relationships, and none of them dudes ever treated you right, but I'm here to let you know, I'm your knight shining armor. Let's go. Go get her, this out of town, baby, life's better. My fight is something amazing, like a world wonder. Hustle lyrically to get a courtship is a true hunger. Place you on top of the world, opposite of under. And last night, girl, I think I cried, tears of joy. Look into my future, see you having me, my baby boy. Fine, down a mine, I can eat you, be my sister, hoy. Call it lust, I call it love at first sight, not a toy. Not a prostitute, but I don't mind telling me myself to you. A righteous woman in her prime, looking for peace and serenity, finding it. Me no line. I've been telling you my whole life through prayer, baby, now you mine. Made by the Trinity, none other than divine. Come to my world and relocate with a diamond sign. Big city, bright light, sweep you off your feet, I'll be your black knight. Let me in your world, I can hold it tight. See, I'm trying to get to know your mind. Let you know I'm the one you couldn't find. But your days of searching are now over. Let's go. Imagine me and you together, perfect combination. Have kids grow old, perfect situation. Say you looking for a man, give you what you need. House, stability, ring on the finger, I am he. Come to me, let me prove to you that I am worthy. Sign, let your mind under stress make you worry free. I can make love to your mind mentally. The dream team, it's no more I, it's now we. Me and you will get the whole world at a life team. Time to make our presence known, make a whole scene. Divine bond made in heaven, let the match gleam. Romancing, dancing under the stars, night team. Never do or say anything crazy or obscene. Who did I inherit the strength to carry you with me? Treat you with the utmost respect and care. You a queen, everything will work out fine. You can marry me. And there you have it, my offer to you, my heart to yours. Think about it, give me a chance, I can hold you down, come on. Thank you.
I think.
Brother Arvin, you know that's one of my favorite songs by you. And I remember dating you in that song on one of my blog talk shows on Thursday nights. So that is one of my favorite songs by you.
So
if the Ranks group, I mean, you know, all of the artists that are incorporated with the Ranks music, are you planning to do a tour anytime soon?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right now, we're working out our foundation, our infrastructure. We're getting everything right and exact legally and with the paperwork. We're going to get incorporated, the trademarks, the copyright, the $2 million business insurance, everything that a actual Fortune 500 corporate entity needs to operate on the highest level. That's where we're going with our music right now.
Okay, so who really writes, you know, like, who really writes and produces the music? Are you all talented in that area? You have one person doing more of that than others, or what?
We're all talented in that area, but we work with some of everyone. I mean, a lot of our music that we made were produced from other producers who have their own studio, and they said, "Man, I like y'all music. I'm gonna throw on this beat. Tell me what you think." And we was like, "Man, that's pretty hot, man. I want to write today." They're like, "Go ahead, rap. You know what I mean? Go into the studio right here. Go ahead, I'll record you." And I mean, that's how we made 90% of our music like that. Just people hearing us and saying, "Man, I like y'all. I'm gonna throw on this beat. Check it out. You know, write to it. I want to hear what y'all can do to my beat." So that's how we made most of our music, and it's really working out. I mean, we have a nice buzz. We were actually called out to Phoenix by Sister Connie. She threw a community event in Phoenix. The place was jam-packed, and I got our group together. I said, "Man, yo, we need to go out to Phoenix and be a part of this event." They said, "Phoenix, man, such a short notice. Like, you know, we gotta pay for this, pay for that." I said, "Don't worry about it, man. I'll pay for everybody. Let's just go." You know what I mean? And I'm like, "Man," so I paid for everybody to get on a plane and for rental cars and hotel suites and travel here and there and food. I was like, "Man, look, we working on faith. We're going to go out here to Phoenix and put on a real concert." We made it out there. Everything was good. We put on a live concert, a full concert. They loved it.
Wow. And so when does the Ranks plan to do that again?
The year just started, and I know she's putting on a lot of events. Her first event is sometime at the end of this month. We won't be able to miss that one. But, before, the summer hasn't even started yet. So all year, all summer, we'll be out there. We're going to go down south. We're going to go over east because a lot of people that we know, they put on events in different parts of the country. And that's a contact right there, and we can contact them and say, "What you got going on in California? What you got going on in Atlanta, Florida, New York? Oh, I got this event going on, man. Y'all want to come through?" "Yeah, sure." I mean, it's that easy. So only thing you got to do, I mean, faith without works is dead. No matter what talent you have, if you're in business, whatever it is that you do, you got to believe in yourself and just jump out there on faith. But you got to plan also, but you have to jump out there on faith. You got to walk on that. You got to walk on that water.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, Brother Arvin, we down to like the last 30 seconds. So since everybody's seen that bell out, I'm going to see if anybody pressed one on their keypad. All of your mics are loud. Does anybody have a freestyle they want to give us before Brother Arvin rocks us out for the night? Anyone? Any volunteers? Okay, all I hear is crickets. Okay, Brother Arvis, come on, rock us out with a freestyle.
All right, cool. Let's see, all right.
On lyrics.
gospel given to me by Farajo. Injustice and destruction bring them all to me. And I just throw the salute up and go to work. See, I'm made for this, got a heart for this. I bleed, I die, I kill for this. Got the testament that for a kid for this. Ain't even have to feel my soul for this. Just hear and obey, your time has come for that silver lining. Keep pushing just to make it through that trial, keep climbing. The old Arvin's gone, new name NASA. Fast as the speed of thought and I'm gone, can't catch up. Star born with a buzz, no celebrity. I just want to teach and train through the boss, my boss like therapy. I'm elderly, that wisdom got him singing like a melody. Be so handsome with the flow, the game is sick, want to marry me. Master flow to the beat in this holy matrimony. The Ranks music, Nat's new anthem, it's on, homie.
I love it. I love it. Wow, I love that, Brother Arvin. So, okay, well, that's the end of our show. I want to thank our listening audience. I want to thank the people who listened in by chat. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, Sister, what's her name, Tasleen Jamila. Thank you, Sister Chloe Vincent. Thank you all for participating. And, Brother Frank, I know you on the line. I want you to come back next week. I want you to pull some of that poetry out of your memoirs and join us next week so we can hear more from you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm definitely going to be in tune and I'm going to be on every week.
All praise is due to Allah, brother. We thank you so much. And so we will see you back next week. But if anyone has the time, join us this week. We have six shows. We're on six days a week. So join us on Tuesdays for Out on the Front Line with the Food of Islam. Join us on Wednesday for DJ Black Caesar and Friends Show. That's our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, I will be back with Nation Building Presents. This week I'm doing Closing the Gap part 4. That's the final conclusion of that series. On Friday, for those of you who do not have a study group or mosque in your area, we have live study group online Friday nights, 8 p.m. We are in line with the national. We are keeping the current curriculum that the minister has prescribed for us. We are studying the time and what must be done as he presents it to us every week. And on Saturday, join us back here with Brother Arvins and myself with Young, Gifted, and Black. And on Sunday, join us for our economic development program, No Romance Without Finance. And it's not about relationships. It's all about the money. Okay? So thank you all for joining us tonight. May Allah bless you and keep you. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.